This podcast brought to you by Konica Minolta. Rent an eligible A3 color multifunction printer and receive 3 months free rental. See konicaminolta.com.au for terms and conditions.
Immigration Minister Peter Dutton joins me every Thursday. He's in our Canberra studio. Minister, good morning.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. Just one without notice, and it's not the most important story in the world, but Johnny Depp arrives here with two puppy dogs, and they are somehow not on the manifest or not declared. They then go to the Gold Coast to get groomed. I mean, what do we do when private jets arrive here? I mean, what if it's not Johnny Depp but some other bloke who wants to bring not his dogs in but drugs? What do we do there?
They should be screened like anybody else, Ray. So I think Barnaby Joyce is having a look into this at the moment. But a serious matter, because if you have breaches of biosecurity, it can have big impacts. It's why people can't bring plants or animals in. They need to notify customs and the AQUIS people at the borders. And we need to make sure that they're not bringing in diseases. And in this case, it should have been screened. It wasn't. And he's obviously having a good look at it.
Yeah, I understand why he's involved, because it's dogs. But as the Minister of Immigration and in, you know, Operation Sovereign Borders, stopping people from getting here, I mean, what's to stop someone coming in a private jet, some big name, who, you know, obviously officers are absolutely enamoured with, bringing drugs into the country? If we don't find two live dogs, what else are they bringing in? I'm not suggesting Mr. Depp has brought anything in, but other people.
Well, I think what happens, as people know, when they come in on a commercial flight, Ray, is that you need to make declarations. And so people will sometimes make false declarations. If they get caught out, there's a big fine attached to it, and no different to the same cards that people would need to fill out if they're coming in on private jets. But there should still have been a proper screening process that took place. And
sounds like it didn't happen. I mean, if you're going to put your bag through x-rays or whatever else, or bring them through, someone's going to... I mean, two yapping dogs aren't going to get through normally.
Well, not even in a handbag.
No. Anyway, I just thought I'd raise it. We'll see what happens with that. Now, immigration featured in the budget largely because of Operation Sovereign Borders. More than $500 million to be saved over the next 5 years, forward estimates, because of the reduced need for detention. Do these projections show the problem with boat arrivals has been permanently solved, or just solved for the time being?
Not permanently solved, but for the time being, we've been able to close 13 detention centres, so we've returned $500 million in this budget back to the Treasurer, and it means that we can spend that money, well, in my case, on extra border security measures. So there's a lot more that we're going to do around biosecurity and biometrics. We want to make sure that we can record fingerprints and make sure that we can test people who are coming into our country against the databases to make sure that they're not going to pose a threat to Australia. And it's we're a bit behind on the technology, so we're going to spend some money in that area and give a bit more effort to the customs and border protection staff at the airports.
Now, four refugees supposed to be resettling in Cambodia, they've actually been flown to Darwin, it's reported today. I don't know whether you can confirm they're in Darwin. If they did go there, why did they go there, not straight to Cambodia?
Well, Ray, we've got an arrangement with Cambodia, so people on Nauru, we will try and transition them across to Cambodia, and there is a small group of people that will go across as a first tranche, and then I think once we can demonstrate that it's a success on the ground there, we're providing support around accommodation and getting a job, transport, those sorts of things, so that people can start a new life there, because we've been very clear about it, and that is that those people who have arrived illegally into Australia by boat won't be staying in this country, and they're either up on Nauru, or if they're single males, they're up on Manus Island in Papua New Guinea, and they won't be coming to our country. So we're trying to make arrangements to send them to third countries, and the economy in Cambodia is transitioning. So there's an opportunity for us to help people create a new life there. And the travel arrangements, we don't comment publicly on that, but hopefully they'll be in Cambodia shortly.
This story in The Australian, a high-ranking Australian member of the Islamic terror group Jabhat al-Nusra, that's rival to Islamic State, but they have the same aims, has resurfaced online talking about a war with the US and urging people to join in the jihad. Now, the former Sydney preacher Mustafa Mohammed Farag, also known by the name, left Australia for Syria in 2012. What do you do about someone like this who surfaces on social media? He's pictured with a bloke who's since been killed, but what do you do in general terms?
Well, the first thing you have to ask yourself, Ray, is this person worthy of Australian citizenship? And I think if you look at what the UK's done since 2006, they've been able to take citizenship away from dual nationals, so you're not rendering people stateless, but basically, if our oath is to mean anything, if your allegiance to Australia is to mean anything, when people at the citizenship ceremony pledge their commitment to Australia and its people, if they then turn around and say, well, we want to blow the place up, why do we allow those people to remain to be Australian citizens? And look, it's something the Prime Minister spoke about in his national security speech a couple of months ago, and I'm doing some work in relation to this issue at the moment, because if people are going off to fight in Syria to attack people, maybe our allies, if that is in our national interest and people want to put that proposition, I think it's a complete nonsense. And if they come back here further radicalised, I don't think we want them back in our country.
No. I mean, have you seen what David Cameron's had to say overnight and what he intends to do? I mean, he's now got a mandate. He controls the British Parliament through the last election. And all of a sudden, things he wanted to do during his last term, he can now do. And he's talking about getting rid of the politically correct nonsense and claptrap that sometimes we have to put up with because of the Senate.
Well, you're seeing this play out in relation to the boats. I mean, a tragedy seeing these people drown in the Mediterranean. Mm. But the UK has said, since the election last week, they've said, look, we are not going to be a party to these people drowning at sea. Now, Richard Marles, the Labor immigration spokesperson here, said, well, it's a nonsense. You can't turn around boats on the Mediterranean. But that's exactly what Kevin Rudd and Bill Shorten said when they were in government. And we have turned around boats where it's safe to do so. And we've stopped people coming to this country. And it's a big part of the reason. I was up in... I mean, we spoke last week. I was on my way back from Sri Lanka. They say up there, look, if these people are coming back to villages saying we couldn't get to Australia successfully, they turned us around, that is the complete opposite message. And if they do make it to Australia, they're calling back saying, look, line up for the next boat. And we've stopped the boats. We intend to keep them stopped. But you've got to take tough decisions. And I think that's what David Cameron's talking about doing in the UK.
Well, what he's also saying, I think that overnight we've had, because of the calmer waters in the Mediterranean, a stack more people getting on boats, and I think they're boats that can accommodate 30, and there are in some cases 150 people on them, and they're being rescued, as they must be, by other vessels, including Royal Navy vessels. But he's saying by rescuing the people, and you have to do it, I suspect, if you can see them. You've got to put them on board and save them. And he said, but that just encourages the people smugglers to say, see, they're being dropped off in Italy by the Royal Navy, so let's keep going.
Well, that's exactly the lesson here. I mean, when Labor was in power and 50,000 came on 820 boats, and we're still dealing with 31,000 of those people in our community now to try and, if we owe them protection, give them protection, but otherwise send them back. And so the turnbacks has been central to the success of Operation Sovereign Borders, but also the temporary protection visas, because you need to be able to say to people, we can provide you with a safe haven in some circumstances to take you away from harm's way, but if the circumstances change in your country, as we've seen in Sri Lanka since the civil war has ended, and it is safe for you to go back, you will be going back. And that is a very different scenario than what Labor presided over, where they gave permanent protection to tens of thousands of people, and it means that you can't help those who are most in need, which is what we're able to do through the program otherwise.
Greg Sheridan, writing in The Australian yesterday, noted that Indonesia has turned a vessel back, sending it, I think, to Malaysia from memory. Are you surprised by that, given that they were so opposed to us turning boats back?
Well, I think people are looking to the success that we've had in Australia, and you're right, the Indonesians, it's been reported, as well as the Malaysians, have turned boats back. And again, if you're going to send a message that we'll take all comers, you're seeing in the Mediterranean at the moment the outcome of that. There were 1,200 people that drowned on the voyage between Indonesia and Australia during Labor's time. We've stopped those drownings. We've not had a reported drowning in 17 months. And I think that's something our country should be proud of. But there are a million people, some reports say, that are sitting in Libya waiting to get on boats to head across to Italy or to other European countries. And if you provide them with a green light, people will come.
Now, is it disappointing for you, as someone in Cabinet, that we've got Besserville, the opposition leader, the blocker, the perennial blocker, being joined and chorused by one of your own in Arthur Sidonis, about this parental leave? Look, I've got an email just popped up from Dave. Ray, a friend of mine is a public servant. She told me while she was on maternity leave, she was getting more money from the paid parental leave and maternity leave than she was getting when she didn't have the baby. It's wrong. I mean, whether you call it a rort, and whether it's a legal rort, I mean, there are all sorts of rorts, but it's the job of government to minimise the wastage of our money, taxpayers' money, one would imagine. And yet here you have Arthur Sinodinos joining in about what Scott Morrison or Joe Hockey may have said about people who are double-dipping. I mean, that's what they're doing, and it's under the present framework, apparently it's not illegal. Well, it should be made illegal, but, I mean, from within your own party, does it get a bit frustrating?
But I just think you've got to apply common sense, Ray, and people know that they work hard in small business or in their job, they pay taxes, and they want the government to spend it responsibly. And the welfare system is supposed to be a safety net to provide support to people when they're down on their luck. And the safety net, in my mind, is not being used appropriately. And I think if people are claiming two streams of income, in some cases both from the taxpayer, if you're talking about public servants who are on maternity leave, then I don't think that's what the average Australian would want to see. And I think that's exactly what Joe and Scott have tried to do in the budget, to bring an end to that, so that we can, in the end, mate, it's people are smart enough to see through Bill Shorten. People know that if you're earning $1,000 a week and you're spending $2,000, you know, the party only goes on for so long. And that's what happened when we came into government. Enormous debt. We're paying it down in this budget. But at the same time, we're trying to stimulate the economy through helping small business. And we're trying to provide support to people when they go on maternity leave. But I don't think taxpayers expect that there's going to be two sources of maternity leave, one that's being paid by the employer and the other that's being paid by the taxpayer.
Thanks for your time. As always, talk next week.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
Immigration Minister there, Peter Dutton, talking to us from our Canberra studio.
This podcast brought to you by Konica Minolta. Rent an eligible A3 colour multifunction printer and receive 3 months free rental. See konicaminolta.com.au for terms and conditions.